You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. No lie is of the truth. Is the title of this devotion. We cannot mix the truth with deception. The two do not congeal. They do not mix together. It's like oil and water, they don't mix, as they say. You know, there is such an obvious nature difference between the truth and the lie. And we want to live in such a conscious knowledge of the truth day and night that we can detect a lie. You cannot detect a lie unless you're convinced of the truth. There's something inside of you that I don't notice. The words sound good, but I don't know. I don't know this. See, it doesn't connect with you. That which is written connects with you because it's the truth. But when somebody else comes with their own reasoning, with their own thoughts, you immediately feel there's something not straight about it. Not clean about it, not pure, not true about it. That's the truth living in your heart, guarding you. No lie is of the truth, is the title of this devotion. It says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth, the title of this devotion. Friends, it says here in Hebrews, and I find this very powerful, but it's the book of Hebrews is such a phenomenal revelation of the life that Jesus has with the Father that he now gives to us. It is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's hard to say because I love them all. But it says here in chapter 6, verse 17, listen to this. Thus God determining, verse 17, to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Confirmed. So it's true, but he's put another seal on that truth as confirmation. This is true, right? It says, by two immutable things, two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, but two, the promise and the oath. So by the two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, there's so much to say about all this, but I want to focus on that it is not possible for God to lie. No lie is of the truth. There is no question about its authenticity. There is an absolute authenticity that is never ceasing to bear witness. It ever lives. It never dies. It's always active. Really, if there is deception in it, it will perish. But it cannot perish because there's no deception in it. It is from eternity to eternity the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God gave the promise to anyone who would believe upon the Lord Jesus that they would receive eternal life. And that promise that he gave concerning Jesus, he sealed with an oath. He made himself the guarantee of it. And it is therefore that Jesus is at the Father's right hand. He's gone beyond the veil of what can be seen. The flesh is the veil. and he's gone into the throne to be seated at the Father's right hand, so that the Father himself is the guarantee that that life is safeguarded. It never ceases, it never diminishes, it never loses its value, power, or glory. It is from everlasting to everlasting the same. And he continuously gives that life into all the heirs of salvation, into all who believe. And we are now being saved by being continuously made new inwardly. Titus 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 16. We're continuously, 2 Corinthians 3, 17, 18, made new inwardly, because God himself, the everlasting one, is the guarantee of this truth, and this truth is unfailing. Now, I find this so powerful for my faith. It is so revitalizing me continuously. This is where my mind sets, when the human mind can have so many questions and deceptions. We're so vulnerable to deception in our human thinking. We're so vulnerable to deception in our human emotions. And then we can argue against the truth, but the truth gains such holy ascendancy in our nature that no, there is no more question, there is no doubt. I'm fully convinced, I'm totally persuaded. I have nothing in me that questions the love of my Father, absolutely not, absolutely not. No, he has convinced me by that truth, by that oath, by the absolute guarantee of it in Christ Jesus, who is the guarantee. Listen, we need this, what I'm talking to you about, so that we're not easily moved. That when life has disappointments, or the things you would lawfully desire are not being realized in your experience, things that God himself has given, and you are going through the pain of not seeing the experience, not having the experience of it, that you don't question your Father's love for you. You don't think, well, if God would love me, then why am I going through this? If God is for me, now how come all this has happened to me? Well, if God is with me, then how come this all went wrong? See, such thoughts don't come to those who know the truth. But if you aren't fully in the knowledge of the truth, then you can easily have your faith falter. You can easily stumble and fall, but God would so settle you, establish you, strengthen you, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, that you cannot be moved. And yes, this is why we need teaching. This is why we need preaching that bears witness of the truth, that strengthens your heart in believing, that strengthens your mind in believing, because God will do whatever it takes to reaffirm his word, to reestablish his promise, to revive your heart and your mind in what he has spoken, that he is bringing to pass despite the time of delay or waiting has been long. And you need teaching. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I think that it's so important that we minister to the Lord as well as to one another. Father, I thank you for your promise. I believe, Father. I believe you're able to perform what you've spoken. Father, I believe that what you have said, you are able to perform, and I give you praise for it. That's what Abraham did. We read in Romans 4, verse 17 through 20. Abraham gave praise to God and was strengthened in faith that what God had spoken, he was able to perform, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You read it for yourself. Even against hope, in hope, he believed, because he gave God the praise that what he had spoken, he was able to perform. So Abraham did not waver through unbelief. And here we need that equipping. So till we all, it says in Ephesians 4:13, come to the unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, listen, that we are no longer, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but that we all speak the truth in love and grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus, that we're strengthening each other, that somebody can say to you, no, I was praying and it just came to my heart how you've been believing, and I just feel the Holy Spirit all over it. It's so alive and active what you're believing. Oh, I believe it's coming, hallelujah, it's coming to pass. And that you get strengthened in the faith by one another instead of, you know, I don't know why you keep believing that kind of stuff. I never see it happen in my life. Those things don't work for me. Yeah, I don't see it anymore like that. You know, I used to believe those things too, but it's just human passion. See, people, they've lost their faith, and an evil has entered their heart. What evil? Unbelief has entered their heart. And they don't believe anymore that God cares and that God is able to perform and able to do super abundantly, far over above what we ask or think, by his power at work in us, Ephesians 3, verse 20. See, they don't have that spirit of faith that pleases God because they got wounded or they got hurt or they got upset. And there's a difference between somebody who's just wounded and upset and somebody who completely lets go and who completely surrenders to the unbelief and now makes it its heart condition. Friends, I pray that if your heart got wounded and you've kind of let go of faith in God, that you turn back and say, Father, I've stumbled, I've fallen. My heart is not in the faith. I'm not in that spirit of faith according to what's written. I'm not able to speak about it anymore in the spirit of faith, Father. I now talk the doubts, I talk the fears, I talk the unbelief. Lord, help me, forgive me. I don't want to cause anybody else to stumble. Help me, Lord. Change me, Lord. It's Jesus answered in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. You see, friends, we need to be thoughtful in the days in which we're living, that we don't allow our hearts to be turned away from the Lord by those who've given up on him. I pray that you'll never give up on him, that you always stay steadfast in your heart of faith. Paul writes his last letter, 2 Timothy. It's out of we have 13 of Paul's letters in the scripture here. And this is the last one that he's writing out of a dark dungeon right before he's being executed. And he knew he was going to be executed. And he's writing to his dear friend, Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times will come, harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous times, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, long lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such, turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loading down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my life, my purpose, my long-suffering, love and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men, imposters who grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I really believe that God would have you and me in such a knowledge of the truth that we cannot be deceived and we cannot be carried away by any kind of wind of doctrine, that we're not just looking at the newest fashionable spiritual teaching, that we're not just running after the new methods and ways, but that we hold to the Scriptures and to the spirit of love and life that is in Christ in us for one another and for God. Amen. Have a good day.